This is the Athletic Hockey Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another edition of the Athletic Hockey Show. It's Haley Salvian. It's Sean Gentile. It's Thriday. And we have some news that we need to discuss before we get into the show. Sean, we have lost Fred the Groundhog. He now lies with Pete the Penguin.
You're going to have to explain who Fred the Groundhog is here.
Rest in peace, you sweet, sweet prince.
Rest in power, Canadian Punxsutawney Phil.
That's right. Okay.
Explain this.
So, it's Groundhog Day, Thursday, February the 2nd. And the famous Quebec groundhog,
famous
Fred. I don't even know how to describe this properly.
He died, Haley. He died.
I just
blown
need
up,
a minute.
Blown up by a landmine.
Sean, that's not accurate.
That's true.
We
that's
don't actually
happened.
Know how he died, and we don't know when he died either. So it's Groundhog Day. There was 40 minutes into the festivities, which included music and dancing. So the Groundhog Day celebrations turned into a wake for Fred the Groundhog.
Sure.
And 40 minutes into the Groundhog Day festivities, the organizer of the event came on stage and said, quote, "In life, the only thing that is certain is that nothing is certain. Well, this year it is true. It is true, and it's an unfortunate. I announce to you the death of Fred."
The death of Fred. Lo, we are from dust, and to dust we shall return. We've lost Canadian Punxsutawney Phil. You, like, again, I'm begging you to explain to people what this is, because American listeners are not going to get, like, this is...
I don't understand what there is to explain. The groundhog.
This is the
died.
Groundhog? No.
This is the Quebec groundhog.
Who is Fred?
He's the groundhog.
The one, do they bring up, do they typically bring him out of his hole to, or whatever, to decide to...
He was found dead overnight, hours before he was expected to predict whether it would be an early or late spring.
Yeah. Rest in power, Fred.
Sweet, sweet prince.
Anyways, welcome to the Athletic Hockey Show. Hold on a second. I didn't even know there was a Canadian groundhog until like an hour ago.
I didn't know that there was just like one groundhog. I thought everyone had their own groundhog.
What the fuck? So you thought like every city had a groundhog that they turned to for weather predictions?
I don't really know, honestly.
Is there a Toronto groundhog?
What groundhog do people care about?
Punxsutawney Phil. He's like he's the groundhog of record.
What does he have to do with winter in Toronto or Montreal?
I'm like legitimately starting to get frustrated by this conversation. There's one American groundhog. There's like that. This is the guy that shows up on the Today Show and whatever else. There's one. I didn't know that there even was a Canadian analog.
There's multiple.
Let alone a Quebecois analog. Okay.
Yeah, this is Fred Le Marmot.
Fred the Marmot.
He is the Quebec groundhog.
Haley, please answer my question. Does every Canadian city have their own groundhog?
No, not the cities. There's just multiple groundhogs.
What's going on up there?
There's a Wyarton Willie. That's okay, the groundhog that
insane.
I've known my whole life.
This is insane. Wyarton Willie. Does Vancouver have a groundhog? Does Moose Jaw have a groundhog?
No, listen to me.
Windsor.
Different provinces have their own groundhogs. Listen to me.
Oh yeah, there's Peterborough Pete.
It's Balzac Billy.
Insane.
And Okanagan Oki. And then one's name is Sam.
And they all died. They all died overnight. It's suspicious. The mounted police are investigating.
No. Listen to me. This is getting off the rails. I just wanted to start the show with a moment for Fred, the sweet, sweet groundhog who was found dead this morning. There is a groundhog for every province in this nation.
Hey,
and they crazy. Were all split, by the way.
Yeah, and once a year they combine to form the Groundhog Voltron. This is crazy. You told me about...
Groundhog did you think I was talking about?
I just figured there was one catch-all Canadian groundhog, like there was one catch-all American
That's
groundhog.
Why his name is French. He's the French groundhog.
How was I supposed to know this?
So there isn't like a groundhog in Pennsylvania and Washington?
No, there's one. That's the thing.
How does that account groundhog- for, you know, California winter?
Same rule applies to everybody.
How old is that groundhog in the United States?
I got some bad news for you about groundhogs.
Do they just replace him every year?
How long do you think groundhogs live? 1 year or are they immortal?
Well, I don't think they're immortal, but...
Anyways, folks, it's NHL All-Star Weekend.
None of that went the way that I imagined.
Looking for answers here.
Okay, so it's NHL All-Star Weekend. We put out a call for questions because we're going to do a mailbag show today because we don't care about the All-Star game.
We care
about Groundhog Day and mailbag questions.
There's also nothing happening this week. Like there's barely any games. There's none being played tonight.
Dom Luschishin had a great piece with Matt Fairburn about Tage Thompson that dropped today. Tage Thompson, by the way, is out indefinitely. So don't read it. Don't worry about it. Read it next season when he comes back.
I've been hearing about this story for months about, you know, about how Tage Thompson is like hockey Josh Allen. They both play in Buffalo. The big plan, of course, was to drop this before the All-Star break because, of course, Tage Thompson would be involved. And, of course, the Buffalo Bills would either be headed to the Super Bowl or have just lost in the AFC Championship game. And none of that came to pass.
Yeah, that's
tough. Two weeks or whatever since Josh Allen's last football game. And big, strong Tage is staying home for the festivities, which is a shame. I wonder what skills competition thing he would have been involved with. They should have just put him in all of them. This should have been the Tage Thompson show. Like, this should have been Friday and Saturday. Saturday should have been wall-to-wall Tage. And we're not getting it. And Haley, I'm very upset.
Yeah, and you know what would have been great is that all of these contests would be starting at staggered times so everyone could watch Tage Thompson all night.
Yeah, it's true. What do you think they're going to have the skating, the fastest skater at the same time as the breakaway? That actually might be a way to spice up the skills competition. Hardest shot at the same time is the fastest skater.
That's great. Oh my. And you should put a bullseye on the back of everyone in the fastest skater. That's how you get the extra point in the accuracy shooting.
Is that what it would take to get you to pay attention to the skills competition?
You know what? I will. Oh, I'm not going to watch this weekend because I have a bachelorette party this weekend, so I'm not watching. I typically watch the skills contest. I don't watch the All-Star game. I don't mind the skills competition. I will put it on. I'm not going to cancel plans to be there and make sure I'm watching it. But I personally like watching the breakaway challenge because I think that's where things can get more fun. Although I don't love, so the roster for the breakaway challenge presented by Great Clips.
You don't have to say that, by the way.
It's actually the Great Clips NHL Breakaway Challenge trademark. So the roster for that is the celebrity goalie is Roberto Luongo, which is fun. Mitch Marner, David Pastrnak, Matthew Tkachuk, and then a duo, Alex Ovechkin and Sidney Crosby are teaming up. There is a severe lack of Trevor Zegras, Jack Hughes, young, fun boys.
Leave those guys at home. I've had enough of them.
Is Jack Hughes not an All-Star?
Take a break from little fellas. No, he is.
Okay. Trevor Zegras.
Jack is in the accuracy shooting contest, which is presented by a car company, which I will not name because they are not an advertiser for us. So there.
Well, as I was saying, the breakaway contest is fun. I enjoyed it last year because they had Hughes and Zegras doing some fun, creative things. Enjoyed that a lot. Fastest skater is Dylan Larkin, Kirill Kaprizov, Kale McCarr, Chandler Stevenson, and Andrei Svechnikov.
Chandler Stevenson is fast.
Did I sound skeptical when I named Chandler Stevenson?
A little bit. Yeah, a bit.
The fact that he is the one that replaced Matty Beniers, kind of weird. This is the league that wants a representative from every single team, and then Matty Beniers is hurt. He's not there. And so the league gets somebody from the Vegas Golden Knights to replace him. So now there's nobody representing the league's newest team that tends to make a ton of money for said league with their shiny new building that is consistently sold out over the first year and a half of its existence.
Yeah, is it that much of a loss that we get Chandler Stevenson over Jared McCann or whatever?
If you're a Kraken fan, I don't think you give a crap.
The only reason, yeah, that's true. The only reason this exists, and I think we've talked about this here, and I've said it a million times, like, all-star games, regardless of the sport, are for little kids. This is for 11-year-olds who are...
What about me? I just said I like watching the skills contest.
You're going to a bachelorette party this weekend, so you are... even less of the target demographic than typically.
I'm going to put it on in the background while everyone's playing strange.
We don't care about the All-Star game. We don't care about the All-Star game for two reasons primarily. We're in the media. Media folks typically hate it because it's a pain in the ass and whatever. We're incapable of having fun, basically, when it comes to work-related stuff like that. And we're not children. So we're the wrong people to talk about this. I'll tell you this. When I was 8 years old and I went to the 1994 All-Star game, MLB All-Star game, it was like the best weekend of my life. I went to the Home Run Derby. I saw all that stuff. It's the most fun I've ever had.
Were the Pirates relevant at that point?
No, they were terrible. But there was a random Pirate named Carlos Garcia who was in the game. And I was so psyched
young Kraken fan, Sean Gentile. Boy Sean from Seattle is going to have nothing to look forward to this weekend.
You get to see Chandler Stevenson. Congrats, buddy.
Anyways, we can keep going through the rest of these. Okay, there's the NHL Tendy Tandem. So this is where the women's players are involved. Or did you have anything you want to say about the breakaway or fastest skater?
No, I was rolling my eyes at the phrase Tendy Tandem. But
yeah,
shout out to the breakaway challenge judges. Adam DeMarco played Alfie on the White Lotus.
I hated him in White Lotus.
Yeah, you're supposed to. Dylan Playfair, okay. Who's one of the Letterkenny guys.
Very funny.
Victoria Azarenka, who's a tennis player. And most importantly, Montez Ford and Angelo Dawkins, the Street Profits from WWE, they want the smoke. I'm psyched. They must be. I don't
Do
care.
Do you think
if they're
going to fake punch somebody in the face?
They better.
A fake elbow to the neck area?
In the breakaway. This is, again, they're in the breakaway challenge.
We're doing a great job.
Breakaway challenge. They're going to do something with Tkachuk. How about that? There will be some involvement with the Street Profits and Matthew Tkachuk. they're going to do what so many people have wanted to do over the years and beat the hell out of Matthew Tkachuk on the ice.
Fake beat him up.
The punches are real.
They're going to fake beat him up. They're going to throw a fake chair at him. Oh, that's what they're going to throw a chair at him. That's the thing in WWE. They're going to jump off the judges' table and body slam Matthew Tkachuk.
Sure. I hope it happens.
I fell asleep for a significant chunk of the Royal Rumble. Anyways, the Tendy Tandem is where we're going to see the women's hockey players involved. So initially the league announced that the certain players were going to be in the fun. I think some people took that as they were going to be competing in the skills competition. So they are going to have a presence over All-Star Weekend, is my understanding of this. And one of those ways is they are going to be the shooters in this goalie challenge. So 8 goalies are going to participate in this event. 1 goalie from each division are going to be the shooting goalie, and then 1 will be the in-net goalie. So shooting goalies are going to earn points based on the accuracy of their shots, and the in-net goalies will face rushes of 3, 2, or 1 players based on the number of points earned by the shooting goalie in their tandem.
Okay.
And then the shooters are Alex Carpenter, Hillary Knight, Emily Clark, Rebecca Johnston, and Sarah Nurse. So they're kind of just being used as like the shooters to help the goalies like get or lose points, it seems. Kind of. So the one thing I will say is like things could change. Like Kendall Coyne Schofield wasn't supposed to be in the fastest skater, but she ended up being in it when McKinnon got hurt. So things can change. But as of right now, like that's their thing on skills day.
Anytime they're involved, like whether it's the accuracy shootouts, you know, Hillary was involved with something like that in St. Louis a couple years ago.
Brianna Decker demoed the pass accuracy a couple of years ago, and she demoed it faster than pretty much every single person in the competition.
Yeah, what I was saying was like anytime they get involved, it seems like the charisma level is ramped up like a couple degrees. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're hams in a way, and I say that positively, in a way that the men's players aren't.
Because they need the attention.
They play the camera better because they realize that this is an opportunity for them, and they are, because of, you know, the wild amount of inequity in sports, they have to work their ass off for every bit of mm-hmm. you know, attention they get. And they know it. So they realize this is a legit platform for them.
Yep.
And they act accordingly. So the mm-hmm. more they're involved, the better. I hope it's beyond just, you know, shooting pucks at whatever.
I'm expecting Alex Carpenter to make somebody look silly.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna ask you. Who's like didn't even have to ask the question. Carpenter's the one to watch out for here.
I think she's got a wicked shot, and I don't think she maybe has like the same star power name recognition as EA Sports cover star Sarah Nurse, or, you know, one of the greatest of all time in Hillary Knight. But Carpenter has got a wicked shot. I'm very excited to see what she does. Emily Clark is a fun player to watch, and Rebecca Johnston, you know, hasn't been on some of the last few national team rosters. She's been taking a break, so I'll be excited to see what she does, and, you know, if she's going to come back into the national team fold. She's, you know, working with the Calgary Flames now. But I think Alex Carpenter, I mean, you always got to watch Knight and Sarah Nurse, but I think Alex Carpenter is like the sneaky pick.
They're known commodities at this point, right?
Yeah.
I think Carpenter a little less so.
She should be a known commodity.
Sure.
But she got cut from an Olympic team when she shouldn't have been. And she's got, again, a hell of a shot. So I'm excited. I'm sure Hillary Knight's going to do something too.
Alex Carpenter, come on the podcast.
Join us. We should do another women's hockey guest soon.
Yeah, I've been saying it.
That's right.
They're more interesting than the men's players.
Okay, just a couple more here.
And they're easier to talk to.
Oh, yeah. Hillary Knight, we couldn't like get her off the phone almost. Like, we're just like, all right, Hillary.
Excuse me, Hillary. I have things to do. Goodbye.
Okay, so there's a couple of these shticky ones because it's in Florida. I like that they're doing this. It's kind of like they did at the Vegas All-Star Weekend, how they had the thing at the Bellagio. I'll admit I didn't watch that one, but it's
theoretically, it sounded cool. Great.
It looked kind of cool. So they're doing the splash shot, which is on a beach. The ocean spray, breeze, and sand add to the challenge of this exceptional skills event as 4 pairs of players fire at targets to attempt to dunk their opponents.
Great.
And then there's the pitch and puck, which is like hockey and golf shots on it, featuring an island green. So Johnny Gaudreau, Clayton Keller, Jason Robertson, and Nick Suzuki are doing that one. There's the accuracy shooting. Hardest shot.
The stupid part of this is the I hate reading ad copy like this where you're talking about ocean spray and breeze and sand and whatever. This is like, I
that's
do
not ad
read
copy.
Direct.
That has nothing to do with Enterprise.
I hate
car
it.
Rental service.
I hate. What did I tell you? No free advertising. The thing I want to see here more than anything, the takeaway from the NHL splash shot presented by a nameless rental car service. I want to see Crosby versus McKinnon. I want to see one of those guys dunk the other.
No, I think they're on a team.
That's bullshit.
They're teammates.
I don't like that. They should have put them against each other.
No, they're going to try to dunk the Tkachuk brothers into a tank.
It's just the Tkachuk brothers?
No. I've got a bone to pick with this press release. They didn't show the pairs. So the participants are Crosby, McKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, Shesterkin, Fox, Brady, and then Matthew.
Okay, that's fine.
So I'm assuming it's Crosby, McKinnon, Rantanen, Makar, Shesterkin, Fox, and the Tkachuks.
Should have brought out Big Walt to dunk Matthew and
Brady. Maybe they will.
We never know.
He's going to be wearing flip-flops. He's going to be super chill. And he's going to dunk his children in a tank.
And the other thing to remember, folks, is that I have to live blog this at the website on Friday night. So Watch it, hang out, maybe we'll make some jokes or whatever. We'll get through this together. Because
I, too, am in the live blog because I forgot about the bachelorette party. So I think it'll be really funny if I just randomly start blogging.
Yeah.
So if you're a loyal listener, you'll know that I'm doing that. You know, I'm starting to have a bad time and now I'm live blogging the All-Star game instead. Are we done talking about the All-Star game?
No, please be done talking about the All-Star game.
Okay, we're going to take a little break, and I feel like we didn't even say anything about the All-Star game. We just read the NHL's press release.
Who cares?
We're going to go to break, and we're going to come back with a mailbag, which is what everybody is here for.
All right.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
All right, so if you've made it this far into the show, or you just fast-forwarded to this point in the show, we appreciate you. Because we spent 10 minutes talking about how Groundhog Day works in Canada, and then another 10 just reading the press release about the All-Star Skills Competition. But that's kind of the news. There aren't that many games that were happening this week. It's the All-Star break. That's why we are doing a mailbag episode. I guess the only thing we didn't bring up off the top that I was going to is your story that you had, Sean, about the NHL TV ratings. There was some anger online. Not anger, but a lot of takes, a lot of people with opinions on why the TV ratings seemingly were down. A lot of it could have just been chopped up to there were 7 games on ESPN last year and none of them were on Sundays.
Yeah.
Like small sample size plus football.
This, you know, particular data point, you know, the ratings drop, it doesn't really matter. it doesn't say what people thought it said, at least, right? So does that mean that the NHL doesn't have huge existential problems like coming down the pike? Like, no. Of course it means that. But it was being misinterpreted by people, and you know, and you can see in the comments of that on that post, which are deranged, by the way, but it's people screaming about blackouts and saying that this is happening because the league went too woke and happening because the league. Yeah, it's crazy. But that's what happens when you see this sort of stuff. We saw it with the NFL a few years ago where there was a ratings drop and everybody used it, you know, as a cudgel against the league to advance whatever their own personal, you know, cause was. This isn't happening because there haven't been any trades. This isn't happening because
of any
one particular thing, right? A lack of casual national viewership is an enormous problem for the NHL. That is the problem. That is the thing that they've been trying and failing to fix for the last gazillion years, right? But that particular number, that 22% number in the United States means nothing. It says nothing. And there's no sense in pretending otherwise.
Well, because when you take out the games on Sundays, the average viewership is actually better than it was last year.
Right.
So we should see those numbers look better.
And it still sucks. Like there's all sorts of problems. I mean, this introduces a whole other set of problems, right? It shouldn't just be, you know, a situation where you just punt and where the NHL should be punting against anybody, like even if it is football. But that's where we are.
Right.
Let's get to the mailbag. I don't want to talk about this anymore.
Let's get to the mailbag. Okay. So we got some questions on Twitter. We got some questions from the Discord. I believe you went onto a Puck Soup Discord and asked for mailbag questions.
Yep.
So we've got a mix of actual hockey questions, some questions about us and our jobs, and then just some, you know, questions like, who do you think you are? I assume that's directed at you, Sean.
Probably.
That's from Kral. Also asking, where's your Pulitzer?
I'm Sean. I didn't get anything to commemorate the Pulitzer that I was involved with winning. Hmm. Why is everybody talking about this now? Craig opened up the can of worms, and then Wyshynski did on a call-in show for Puck Soup. I can't put the horse back in the barn on this one, I don't think.
Must be nice to be so smart.
I don't have anything commemorating the Pulitzer because I didn't win it myself. I was part of a group of people that won it at the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette.
So you're a fraud.
This is why I didn't want to tell anybody about it, because I didn't actually win one myself. And people think that, you know, it's a gray area to exist in.
Great. Okay. So another question. This is from Pock. He's from the Discord. What was your cringiest moment interviewing someone, whether it happened during or you learned additional information after that made you cringe? I got secondhand cringe listening to Craig interview Quinn Hughes.
Legendary stuff.
I felt so uncomfortable for everybody involved, including myself as a listener. And Craig had a podcast that was just him talking to people for an hour.
Craig, truly one of the all-time great guys at like working a room and, you know, getting people to say things and whatever else. So that's why the Quinn Hughes thing was funny, because he doesn't have too many of those on his resume. So yeah. I bring it up constantly because it's one of his great, great failings.
What's yours?
Oh, man, I'm notoriously average, I think, in terms of interviewing people, right? Like, I've gotten better because of the podcast, I feel like, over the last couple of years, but it's not something that comes supernaturally to me. It certainly doesn't come supernaturally to me in scrums. The worst one I was ever a part of was after David Morehouse, who was the president of the Pittsburgh Penguins, announced that he'd fired Ray Shiro. This is back in 2014 or whatever. Mm-hmm. And basically was waiting to decide on whether to fire Dan Bylsma. And it was a disaster. Like, they called us in. We'd been waiting days and days for this to happen. These guys have been flapping in the breeze. And they called us in the morning of. So everybody goes down there. Morehouse had a contentious relationship with some people in the media. Stuff had been leaked beforehand. And it still, to date, was just I barely had anything to do with it, honestly. I was more just present for it. And it's still, to date, just one of the most contentious, bizarre experiences, you know, of my life, honestly. Like, professionally speaking, it was horrible. Because we're talking about guys getting fired, and there was, like, kind of inside baseball, basically, pissing match between Morehouse and the media in general. It sucked. It sucked. It sucked. It sucked. And that is still, to date. And this wasn't even me falling flat on my face and asking a stupid question, which has happened God knows how many times. It happens to everybody. This was just the overall vibe of this press conference was just abysmal. And it's still, to date, is the worst one that I've ever been a part of.
I feel like I've told this story before, but I feel like the most, like, oh my God, I'm such a dumbass moment I've had was in my first year covering the Sens. And I was just doing some like fluffy piece just because it was the end of the month. And I was like, I need to get something else out before the weekend. So I was doing something on the dad's trip and Brady Tkachuk was bringing his grandpa. And I was like talking about the dad's trip and how special it is. And I was just like, what's your grandpa like? Is he cool?
Why? Oh. Don't assume that anybody's grandpa is alive ever.
He was bringing his grandpa.
Oh.
He told me he was bringing his grandpa. I didn't think he... Yeah, he's bringing his grandpa's freaking urn. No, he was bringing his grandfather, and I asked him if his grandpa was a cool grandpa. So I was like, what's he like? Is he like a cool grandpa? And Brady was like, Is he a hot grandpa?
Is he busy later on?
I was like, I am mortified. I just like literally word for word. Is he like a cool grandpa? Like, does he do stuff?
He's cool grandpa. I
asked Thomas Shabbat. Oh God, it's all coming back to me.
Make sure this is stuff you're comfortable sharing, by the way.
I asked Thomas Shabbat. He was like talking about, I basically asked him about his place of residence. Like, he was talking about his like home in Quebec, and I was like, that's like, you live there in the summer.
Yeah, where do you live? What's the address? What's the security camera situation like?
No, of course he doesn't live in Quebec in the hockey season. He plays in Ottawa.
Oh, see, I didn't pick up on that. I thought it was
like,
I asked
him something
creep.
Like dumb. Like, you don't live there right now, do you?
I had a couple times earlier in my career where I wasn't sure who I was talking to. Did that ever happen to you?
No,
you end up in like the
actually, you know what? First
like
training camp
in the visitor room or something, or in training camp, and you just kind of
shut my mouth though. I didn't ask. I didn't say anything. I just was like looking at them, like who is that?
Or just you end up at someone's locker whenever they come in, and you feel like a sense of obligation to almost start asking because you're like, I'm here, I'm working, whatever.
And so what like, do you yeah. do?
Yeah, which one are you again?
It's where you like introduce yourself and you say like, hey, I'm Haley, and then they don't say anything, just like, hey, instead of being,
hey,
yeah, I'm Sean. You're
like, it's
like shit.
10 years ago, it's like, you're Teddy Bluger, right?
Yeah, Theodore's Blugers.
Theodore's Blugers.
Another dumbass moment when I was doing the Olympics. I was doing my Olympic prep for a Latvian game during the men's Olympic tournament, and I was like, oh, somebody named Theodore's Blugers was the leading scorer in the Olympic qualification. That sounds like, you know, discount Teddy Bluger. I was like, oh, it's just Teddy Bluger.
That is full freight 100% Teddy Bluger.
Anyways, I feel like this whole thing is my most cringe moment. Now everyone knows that, yeah, I'm kind of dumb.
That's the biggest challenge of doing podcast interviews with players or coaches or GMs or whoever.
Make them feel comfortable.
Yeah. And also like you're working on a high wire. Like if mm-hmm. you have a bad, if you get in this, very, this, the goal is for this never to happen. And thank God it really hasn't, because I wasn't involved with the Quinn interview, but like, you don't want to get one worded by that. If you get a one word answer from somebody when you're interviewing them in front of their locker for a print story, like whatever, you just don't use it. Sucks, it's embarrassing, but you just don't use the, you don't have to tell anybody about that here.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
like,
if you get a one word like phone interview answer in a room, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it's just like, oh, take that. I took that one on the teeth. Like, I've had kind of shitty locker room interviews before. You just don't use it. But yeah, podcast, you're just like, oh damn it,
I'm just constantly like, I sweat usually through these right. interviews, honestly, even when it's guys that I'm comfortable with, because you're just like, the stakes are a little bit higher here.
Yeah. You want to make it a good show for people, and you want your guests to feel comfortable, but you also don't want to come off as just like overly chummy, kind of dumb.
There's a lot of different needles that you have to thread there for sure.
Yeah. That was definitely my cringiest moments were like early Sens days. Just like dumb things that came out of my mouth. They were harmless though. Like Brady was like, Brady thought it was funny. I was just like, whatever. I'll talk to you in a month. I didn't talk to Brady Kachuk for a while after that one.
Disappear.
I was like, I'm not going to that side of the locker room. All right. Not Rock asks, what's SG's favorite Canadian snack and what is Haley's favorite American snack?
Favorite Canadian snack is Wonder Bar. That is the best of the Canadian candies that I've had.
Not all dressed chips?
I love all dressed chips. But no, I love a Wonder Bar. It's peanut butter, it's caramel. It's wonderful. It's a Wonder Bar. This podcast has been brought to you by Wonder Bar.
Mm-hmm. We got a shocking, like, we didn't get many hockey questions. So if you're here for hockey talk, just...
No, there's some in there. Why don't we'll get to how about you share your favorite American snack?
I actually don't. I don't. Anything from Trader Joe's.
Mm-hmm.
I love Trader Joe's.
Everyone does.
Everything from there. And Target. I like Celsius energy drinks. We don't have those in Canada. I like the Trader Joe's movie theater popcorn. And they're everything bagels.
They're pretty good. But as far as like free ones. As far as bag bagels are concerned, I think that's about as good as you're gonna do.
That's right.
Long time.
Sean, do you have a question?
No. Long live the pretzel doink from Trader Joe's.
My dad thinks those are too salty.
Yeah.
I got him some. He doesn't like the salt count.
Interesting. Bad call, Frank. Next question.
Could we ever see a system, and this is from Nick LaPointe on Twitter. Could we ever see a system where there's a salary cap number that your team has to be under for the season, but then there's an in-season cap that is, say, $5 million more? Then teams get relief in season to make moves, but it doesn't leave to teams like Toronto and New York spending $50,000 more in the offseason under a luxury tax system.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're describing is LTIR.
Yeah, just codifying LTIR outside of the actual injured reserve system.
Like your cap doesn't matter once you hit the playoffs. I don't know if we'll see it, but that's probably smart.
I think that's probably the best workaround, or the maybe not the best, because I don't even want to open that can of worms, because you can talk about hard cap, soft cap, no cap, whatever. I think that is like the middle ground that's to be found over the next few years with how, you know, the cap system could be amended or fixed or however you want to put it. Would have been nice if we had that in place this year.
Do you think the deadline's going to be as boring as it might end up being?
I'm starting to think it is going to be, honestly. Yeah, I do. I know we say that every year, and then there's always some kind of action that saves it. And so I'm not saying there will be zero trades or anything, but there just aren't enough teams with money to spend, and there aren't enough teams with players to sell. There aren't enough mechanisms for teams to create space. Mm-hmm. And I think the in-season cap is a really interesting idea. I wish it would have been instituted just as a 1 year, maybe during COVID or whatever. The good thing is that, fingers crossed, the cap's going to raise. I think everyone's freaked out about it now because of how lame the deadline's going to be and how many teams are capped out. But it's a short-term, short-term problem.
He walked that back.
$4 million
that people were thinking of it. We might still be in a flat cap situation next year.
Maybe. And, you know, maybe the year after it could be a gradual rise, but it's going to end at some point. I think that's a win in and of itself. But in the meantime, as a procedural change, as like a overall systematic change for the NHL, I would love it if they were an in-season cap, because that's what teams are doing now anyways with LTIR wrangling and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So codify it and, you know, just make it a lever that's available to every team, regardless of who's hurt and who's not.
Guess how many times are in LTIR right now, according to Cap Friendly?
9.
17.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Think all those guys are actually hurt long term?
The Vegas Golden Knights projected cap hit per Cap Friendly, like with the LTIR contracts and their actual, like, what's on the books and active roster is at 96.3 million.
The time to figure something like this out again would have been this year or last. Yeah. But whatever. But that's a great suggestion. I love that idea.
It didn't seem like, it's not a crazy radical one. And it's not just saying, like, institute a luxury tax.
I don't know if that needs to be a... The problem is that doesn't seem like something that could be voted on by GMs. That seems like a CBA negotiation thing, I would imagine.
Right.
So that's the tough part.
I think part of the problem that's going to happen at the deadline, and we do have a question from the Discord that's about the deadline, so we can fold all this in once we get to that one. It's not just that there's not a lot of teams with money. I think there's not a lot of contenders, like legitimate contenders with money to spend, right?
Right.
Like teams that have the cap. And then the teams who have a ton of cap space, like how likely are they to actually weaponize that cap space to be the power brokers of the league? Because the Buffalo Sabres have a lot of money open on the books, but they're not a team that have typically made those kind of moves. They currently have $47 million in cap space. So do the Arizona Coyotes. Anaheim Ducks have $36 million in cap space right now, according to Cap Friendly. So the question is, will those teams be the power brokers? I mean, we've seen that Arizona's been open to doing that. Part of me wonders if Buffalo will be open to doing that this year in a way that we haven't really seen. And when I say being the power brokers, I mean, will they be the third team in the potential trades of Patrick Kane and Jonathan Taves or whatever expensive players change hands, Ryan O'Reilly, et cetera? I don't know. I think Arizona will.
Buffalo needs to make sure that they keep themselves enough space to sign David Pastrnak in the offseason for $13
million.
Why would
you say that? Where did that come from?
I'm speaking it into existence.
Why?
What? What do you mean, why? You have a problem with Buffalo?
No. I love their wings. I love your hot sauce mixed with butter.
Beef on Weck, one of my favorite foods. You can't even eat that.
Was that something with gluten?
Thanks a lot, gluten.
Yeah. I don't know what you're talking about.
Next question.
I had Duff's wings. Anyways. I love chicken wings.
And I don't care who knows it.
I love chicken wings. I don't even, like, I would go for a chicken wing over a salad any day.
Cool.
Pick me.
Pick me, says Haley Salvian.
I love a chicken wing.
No matter what kind of work you do, how you communicate is key. Grammarly is your AI writing partner to help you communicate more effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact at work. Whether you're sending emails or writing a Slack message, the last thing you want is a grammatical error. It just looks unprofessional. Just a little bit of help from Grammarly can make a big impact on your work day to day. 96% of Grammarly users report that Grammarly helps them craft more impactful writing. It works across 500,000 apps and websites. Plus, tone suggestions help you navigate even the most difficult work conversations. Save time with one click and go from editing drafts in hours to seconds. 93% of professionals using Grammarly Premium report that it helps them get more work done. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Sign up and download for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Anyways, this is a question from Aileen.
Aileen.
Though we all know the trade deadline is usually a lot less exciting than we all hope it will be, what's one team that no one is focusing on in the who's going to trade for X player articles that you think could make a big, exciting move at the deadline? She's basically, I feel personally attacked by this because in my Where Could Johnny Gaudreau story, I didn't include Columbus. And in the Matthew Tkachuk trade piece that we did, we didn't include Florida. But also, if anyone wants to hate on us for not including the Florida Panthers in the Tkachuk piece, find me the person that thought that that was going to happen.
Weren't we kind of told not to? I'm trying to remember. But they didn't really come up in the digging we did to write that story. I don't believe.
Florida?
Oh, they were, no, they did. They were just so capped out at the time that it just seemed impossible. Because yeah, the only
that was
way
a name, but we were like, we're not including them. They have no money. Yeah. They got to pay Huberto and Uyghur.
What are they going to have to? They'd have to trade Jonathan Huberto to make Matthew Tkachuk fit. Yeah, that is right.
Yeah, that's one.
That's an L by us, actually. I was trying to defend the two of us in our process there, but screwed that one up.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, find me the person that thought that was going to happen. Anyways, to the question,
Keith
do you
Tkachuk.
Have an answer for it?
What was the question? What team could come out of nowhere to make kind of a...
What's the team that no one's focusing on in the like various sweepstakes that we've been discussing? Like, who's the team we haven't been talking about in like who's going to get Timo Meier or who's going to get
I think the Islanders
Kane
are a real
Tapes.
Dark horse. I think the Islanders are a real dark horse to add Bo Horvat. Timo Meier is an interesting one because adding him and the teams that are connected with him are all teams with money, and they're all teams that have a younger core maybe and also have the desire to maybe sign him longer term, right? So that's why he's getting connected with the Devils and he's getting connected with the Sabres and whoever else. So I don't know that in terms of the, you know, top of mind trade candidates or threats to end, not threats, but possibilities to end elsewhere. I don't know.
How do we feel about the New Jersey Devils at the deadline? Do you think they're a threat to add Timo Meier?
I would hope so. I love seeing teams go for it. And Timo Meier, for a lot of reasons, is a pretty solid fit for the New Jersey Devils, right? They have a bunch of money coming off the books after the season. They could accommodate an extension for him, or the $10 million QO would be easier for them than some other teams.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I like it, but they're going to have the long term. They're in good financial shape to add a guy like Timo Meier. The challenge is moving out the salary necessary to make it viable right now. Mm-hmm. I think that's tough.
Their projected deadline cap space is only $2 million, so
yeah,
they would need to move some money out. And like, are the Devils a team that should be moving out the younger assets necessary to acquire Timo Meier? Like, I know they're having a really good season right now, and I'm not suggesting that they're going to fall back.
Meier would be a great ad for them long term. The question is if they can make it happen, you know, this season. And we'll see. It's tough for me to say like who is like a pipe dream or a long shot candidate to add guys like this and who's not, because we've had like, look at, how about a guy like Jacob Chychrun? He's been on the market for years. It feels like at this point,
it's going to be a team that nobody has considered for Jacob
like,
Chychrun, just because we've been talking about
everybody's
it so
been considered for Jacob Chychrun. Like we've talked about him at various times. He's going to end up with the Sens. He's going to end up with the Kings. He's like
Buffalo, Toronto.
Yes, right. That was a thing. That was for sure.
Leafs fans want Timo Meier.
Again, like, good luck. It's tougher for them because they have a lot of money locked up long term in a way that the Devils don't. The funny thing was, I always thought that the Islanders were a threat to add Kane because we knew that Lou wanted offense in a bad way. We knew that, you know, Kane's probably not going to want to stay. We're thinking maybe he wasn't going to want to stay in the Western Conference, or maybe he would have some, you know, desire to go east. Even if it wasn't with the Rangers, if the Rangers couldn't make it happen, maybe the Islanders were a more sensible fit. I don't know. I was obviously clearly wrong about that. But it is funny that they went out and got Horvat instead.
I don't know.
I don't want to sit here and make up, you know.
She's not asking us to
guess
make up.
Here.
That's not what the question is. It's just who's the team that nobody is talking about that we think is going to be potentially in on something.
I think we need to pay attention to the Wild because they always come up with this stuff and it seems like it's impossible for them because of they're in cap hell with the Suter buyout and the Parise buyout. But they're always like on the peripherals here. And I know they've been connected with Brock Besser a lot. Like there's always something going on with them. Billy Guerin is, you know, he's someone to watch at this time of year, honestly, because he knows that, you know, he's got a group that can probably get it done, and he has no compunction or he has no real issues with making a move, clearly. So they might be a surprise because they don't have any money, right? So maybe Guerin pulls something off.
I think we need to pay attention to the Seattle Kraken at the deadline.
Yep.
They are, at this point, continue to be. I think they are contenders. I know a lot of people look at their record and where they are at in the standings with a bit of an asterisk, but like, there's that old saying, like, you are what your record says you are, and that record would suggest the Seattle Kraken are one of the best teams in the Western Conference. They have cap space. They have places where they could improve their roster. Like, again, cap friendly is just the best. Their deadline cap space is just under $5 million right now. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a ton of like big money deals locked in long term. They have some. They've got a couple guys coming off the books, but like they've got some cap flexibility. I feel like the Kraken are a team that
that's
could,
a really good one.
Could do something. And I that's don't really know one. If people are talking about that.
I know that we'd heard stuff about
I think they could have been in on Bo Horvat.
We'd heard stuff about the Kraken trying to decide internally like where they're at this season. Like I think that was a process that was still, you know, kind of ongoing, at least from what I'd heard like a week or two ago. Like I think they're deciding, you know, just how far in they want to go. Mm-hmm. And that the fun part is we're still a month out. So that process is, you know, we have however many more games, 12, 15 more games from the Seattle Kraken before the deadline to decide whether it's worth them loading up. And I hope they do. I hope they do. Because you look at stuff that's happened in the Western Conference over the last little bit, Mark Stone getting hurt, huge, huge deal. Stuff like that. Like these teams, the Seattles of the world, the Kings, these like maybe not true top echelon one or two in the conference, you know, groups. I hope these are the franchises and in the front offices that look, you know, that kind of assess where they are and realize that the West is up in the air, right? Like that's a conference that's ripe for the plucking, especially now, because Vegas immediately went in the tank once Mark Stone got hurt, and now he's done for the rest of the season. So
do you think they're gonna spiral?
Vegas? I don't know if I would predict for them to spiral because we've seen them compete, you know, in
not
weird
lately.
Situations. Over right, true. Stone is a different beast though, right? It's one thing to, you know, deal with not having Riley Smith for a little bit or whatever.
They're 2-6-2 in their last 10.
Yeah. He's a good player. But I don't know. I think that conference is more open than I think people realize, honestly. And, you know, I hope we see some teams act accordingly. So what I'm saying is like, yeah, Kraken, go out and trade for Vladimir Tarasenko, right? LA Kings, add a goaltender.
Demko.
Trade for Thatcher Demko. Like,
that
go
would
out.
Be...
Almost too good. It almost makes
it
too
makes
much sense.
So much sense. And it's so spicy and fun. So for listeners who might not be aware, there is a report from Sportsnet's Elliot Friedman. He believes that the Canucks are going to be big sellers at the deadline. Surprise, surprise. But one of the names that he listed as he was going through, like Luke Shen, Brock Besser, like guys that could be sold off, he said Thatcher Demko.
Very, very interesting.
They could get a haul for that guy. We talked about this on the radio show that I have on Sportsnet, Sean. If you're
radio show?
The Vancouver Canucks, I'm going to ignore that. You go to the Kings and say, give me a pick and Brant Clark, and you can have Thatcher Demko.
That makes too much sense.
I think so.
Yeah, just make the money work. Ugh.
But then what do the Canucks look like without Thatcher Demko? Like, what's the point in... Like, that doesn't add up to this. Like, we're going to be good in 2 years because now who's going to be your goalie?
I don't think we hear that report if the Canucks are not open to moving Thatcher Demko.
Of course. Like, that's not a mistake.
So,
but
we can sit here and say, like, their goalie? You know, it's tough. I would say try not to find reason or meaning in what's going on with Vancouver right now, because that's...
You want to contend in 2 years. Anyways, let's move on.
Yeah.
Let's try to do some rapid fire ones here.
Yeah, let's go.
We've answered like 2 questions.
Yeah.
Back to the groundhog. Just kidding. Haley, did SG introduce you to his personal friend, John Hamm? No, he didn't.
My mom was livid that I didn't tell her that I was interviewing John. She found out from Twitter and was pissed.
You should tell your mom things about your life, Sean.
No, she knows enough.
All right. This is a fun one. If the New York Times came to you tomorrow and said you can now cover whatever you want other than your current beat, what would you want to write about?
Film. You know the job I want? I want Dave Itzkoff's job. He covers comedy for the New York Times.
So you want to just watch funny movies and write about why they made you laugh?
No, I want to do things like write about the place of comedy and culture overall, and then get a book deal to write about Robin Williams, which is what happened to David Itzkoff. He wrote the Robin Williams biography.
I have that book. It's on my bookshelf.
Very good.
It's over there.
He's a culture reporter who focuses on comedy. That's probably what I would force our employers, the New York Times, who are, again, the company we work for. No questions there.
You wouldn't want to host a podcast where you talk about movies and snacks that you enjoy?
News for you, my friend.
Do you already do that?
I'm paid handsomely for it.
Do you charge people for this service?
None of your business.
I think for me, one of the things that I really enjoyed when I was in Ottawa specifically was writing prospect features. So finding players who had a unique come up or a significant injury, or just, you know, projecting out what guys might look like and who's someone you should watch. Like, I still have great satisfaction about writing how Jake Sanderson should be the Sens' 5th overall pick.
We should start counting how many times this comes up on the show.
I don't care.
I know.
I'm answering a question someone asked. That was something that I really enjoyed doing. I'm very proud of the work that I did in that. And I think because of that, I've always wondered, like, I just like prospect stuff. And I don't know if I'd want to do it in hockey, though. But it's always made me kind of wonder, like, you know what? College football could have been kind of fun because there's always stories. There's so many stories in college football about guys trying to make it or who's going to make it or who's the one that you should try to identify. I'm not saying I want to do that so I can hit on who the next big thing in the NFL is going to be. But I like telling stories, and there's just so many of them.
College football is tough because you're only as good as the media availability and the media policy for the school that you cover is. So if you have a coach who's an asshole and doesn't make these guys available and doesn't want anybody talking to anybody, it's going to be a hard, hard, hard grind.
Well, I would pick a school that doesn't have those things.
Shout out to Pat Narduzzi and the Pitt Panthers, baby.
That's tough. Anyways, thanks for making fun of me throughout my answer. When did you know that this is something you were going to do professionally? Did you ever get close to changing course? Every single day.
Yeah. I was very, very ready to quit after, like, immediately after college. My first job was horrible. I was ready to just quit in 10 bar. Many times.
I was just joking. I'm sorry that happened to you.
It's okay. I'm here. I'm like, whatever. Yeah, I'm close to quitting all the time. I would love to just go. If I had other sellable skills, marketable skills, I would do it. I wish I were a carpenter or something, but I'm not. So I'm here.
That brings us to one of the other questions we got. Are we going to get Grumpy Sean or Social Sean? It looks like we have Grumpy Sean today.
Oh, it can switch on a dime. You know this.
Yeah. With the Bally Sports news, this is from typical depressed Leaf fan. With the Bally Sports news, could you see the NHL doing what the MLS did with Apple? Mind you, they would probably partner with OLG or something stupid.
No. The short answer is no, because local rights deals are still just an enormous moneymaker for an individualized team. And the ownership model in MLS is still such that it allows for more, you know, umbrella deals like that, where you can just say, like, everything is here, right? Because many of the franchises are, they're actual franchises where there's a league ownership component. It's not the case with the NHL. You have individual people or, you know, property companies or the Fenway sports groups of the world who are out to make money, and local media deals, local broadcast rights, streaming, whatever. It's a huge, huge part of it. So no, they will never be ceding their TV rights for a deal like that.
Okay, this question's from Caitlin McGrath. This is the last one. If sports journalism, this is our friend Caitlin. She covers the Toronto Blue Jays.
Can I say something real quick, by the way?
You're not friends with Caitlin.
Right, but on my Puck Soup Adjacent podcast, for anybody who's unaware, somebody asked us about, it was me and Greg Wyshynski and Ryan Lambert, and we were talking about reality game shows, like reality competitions.
Okay.
And I talked about a sports media member who I left nameless, who had seen every single episode of Survivor.
Oh yeah. Caitlin loves Survivor.
Uh-huh.
So does Scott Wheeler.
You said it on me. I wanted to out Caitlin and Wheeler there, because I've seen them talk in length, in extreme detail, about, like, oh yeah, they're on season 38 of or whatever, which is still it's wild to me. Total recall.
Are you trying to make
Survivor
fun of them?
It's amazing.
For
no, I'm saying it's unbelievable. I can't believe that.
Are you sure?
I can't believe that anybody stuck with that for that long. I don't relate to it in any capacity.
Okay. The question from Caitlin. Now that you're done being very mean, Grumpy Sean, is if sports journalism had a skills competition, what would the events be, and which one would I beat you in?
Journalism?
Just overall. I thought you were saying that would be the contest that I would beat you in.
I think if it were a decathlon, you would probably have me beat. You are a much better reporter than I am. Just generally, you're more motivated and more successful when it comes to finding people and getting information from them. That is a skill, and it is a skill that you have in spades, and I do not.
I'm going to cry.
If you just lay someone up to me and say, hey, talk to, you know, Ken Hitchcock or whatever, it'll probably work out fine. But I'm missing that bone, and you are not.
You could write like 10 columns that would kick my ass before I could agonize my way through writing one. So.
Well, that's life when you come up in the aggregator system in 2011 or whatever. Just churn out as much shit as possible, baby. Have a take.
Who's better at transcribing interviews? Like, who would have the better, like, who's a faster typer?
That's a good question. We might have to figure this out. I honestly don't know. I'm pretty confident in my typing speed, honestly, my typing skill. Everybody has nobody who's in this profession is bad at that. Like, everybody types fast.
Yeah, I don't know. This is a tough one, Caitlin. Let's just, if there was a decathlon, I would win. We agree.
I'm much better at reading mailbag questions without coughing than you are.
Yeah, well, Danielle's going to cut those out.
Oh, good luck.
Oh, she will.
Everybody else in this podcast is sick right now.
I'm
seems
not
like
sick.
You are coughing. Danielle.
I'm not sick. I've been on the phone for hours.
Danielle's lost 97% of her voice and sounds like Callie Marge Simpson.
I think Bono threw up earlier too.
Great. Everybody's sick.
Time to get some mop socks to sweep up that vomit.
Works great on dog vomit. Mop socks. The Super Selly Challenge at the NHL All-Star Game, brought to you by Mop Socks.
Did you mean to say Tendy?
I don't give a shit. I don't care. No, I made it up. The Super Selly Challenge.
Oh. Well, this, I don't even know what we talked about today.
Yeah, it's fine. It's All-Star Week. All-Star Break.
I should be on a beach right now.
You're doing much more important work, so...
That's right.
What are you going to do? Thanks for listening, everybody. I'll be blogging on Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. I'll be at my, you know, longest friend's bachelorette party celebrating her pending nuptials.
Yeah, it sounds terrible. Poor
Thanks,
you.
Thanks, everyone. If you enjoy the mailbag...
Oops, all mailbag.
The oops, all mailbag format, let us know. We'll do this again sometime. I like that we didn't have to talk. There weren't that many hockey questions. There was enough. I feel like you got to know us today.
I barfed out like 45 seconds about RSN deals, and that's about the extent of it. Congratulations.
I totally retained all of that information. All right. Thanks, everybody. And as always, if you want to send us questions in the app, you can do so. And then we can have a little mini mailbag segment and the third segment on weeks where we're not doing a draft. So give us some comments, questions, if you can find your way to the comment section, because Craig and Sean have made it seem like that is impossible to do.
It is.
Speaking of the Tuesday boys, next week, they're going to be breaking down the Athletic's NHL 99 project. They want your input. So if you have thoughts on the rankings, you can email theathletichockeyshow@gmail.com. And please put NHL 99 in the subject line so they know that is what you're trying to talk about. You can also leave a voicemail at 845-445-8459. And just a reminder, if you're not an Athletic subscriber, you can join us at theathletic.com/hockeyshow to get an annual subscription for $2 a month for 12 months. Thanks, everybody, for listening to this Thriday show. Rest in peace to the groundhog and to Pete the Penguin. We will talk to you next week.
Rest in power, Phil the Marmot.
That's not his name.
Whatever.